Thanks for downloading the More or Less podcast. We're your weekly look at the numbers in the news and in life. I'm Charlotte McDonald. One of our heroes on More or Less died this week. Daniel Kahneman won the Nobel Memorial Prize for Economics, and he wasn't even an economist. Not only that, he wrote a best-selling book too, Thinking Fast and Slow. He came on our show, and our presenter Tim Hofford has interviewed him many times. So when we wanted to talk to someone about the importance of Kahneman's work, who better than our Tim?
Hello, Charlotte.
I think we can all admit that Daniel Kahneman was one of the most important names in economics, but he wasn't actually an economist, was he? How did that happen?
No, he was a psychologist. I would say he's one of the most important social scientists of the last 50 years. He was incredibly influential. And he, with his longtime collaborator, Amos Tversky, really asked fascinating questions about how the human mind works, how we make decisions, how we form judgments, how we perceive our own happiness, how we think about probabilities. And it turns out, although he was not an economist, and I think not especially interested in economics, it turns out that these questions are very important for economics. And so a fellow Nobel Prize winner, Richard Thaler, took many of Kahneman and Tversky's ideas and brought them into economics, where they proved to be very influential. And so I think not a huge shock at all that he ended up winning the Nobel Prize, Nobel Memorial Prize, I should say, for economics, even though he wasn't an economist. And that was more than 20 years ago. And he continued to influence people's thinking since then.
So what is Kahneman's work all about then?
The most famous idea, I guess, is that the human mind has two systems. There's an intuitive system that forms impressions and forms judgments very quickly. And then there's a more effortful, more ponderous system that thinks things through. And I think it's helpful to consider a parallel with the way our visual system works. So I can show you an optical illusion and it will fool you, even if you know it's an optical illusion. You know, your mind just perceives, you know, these two lines or whatever in a certain way and will make a predictable mistake. And what Danny and Amos were doing was showing that we would also make predictable mistakes or exhibit predictable biases in the way that we very quickly formed judgments. And as with the optical illusion, even if the mistake was pointed out to you, you might well stick by your original judgment.
Here's an example Kahneman told us back in 2012.
I have an example again of a woman, and her name is Julie, and she's in her last year of her university education. And I'm going to give you an additional fact about Julie, that she read fluently when she was 4 years old. And now I ask you, what level of a degree is she going to get?
Yeah.
And people have an idea. What is the most striking about fast thinking? Is that an idea came to your mind immediately.
Yeah, I thought PhD was the first thing because she seems so smart.
Yeah, that's it. And so you fill in. And what you do actually is you determine age 4, very precocious, and then you look for a degree that matches your impression of how precocious she is. Now, statistically, this is absolutely the wrong way to go about it. Actually, in fact, this is very weak evidence. She was 4 years old then, and she read, you know, she's probably quite bright. That really doesn't tell you what kind of a degree she's going to get. It's very, very weak evidence.
And presumably there is other evidence that we could call to mind if we thought about it for a moment, about how which degrees are most likely, and most people don't get PhDs.
That's the first thing you should think about. It's called the base rate. You should think, how likely is this outcome? And then, is the evidence that I get, that I received, sufficient to move very far from that likely outcome? And the answer in this case is clearly no. There are two things that people don't think about in this example. They don't think of the average, of the most likely outcome, and they don't think of the number of other factors and the number of other facts about Julie that they do not know. What we don't know, we really don't think about, and that makes thinking properly about statistics extremely difficult.
Daniel Kahneman made his name and became very important, influential to economists. When his book came out, Thinking Fast and Slow, that really made his name globally famous.
And it is a fabulous book. And it ranged across not just the work on probabilities and on judgment, but, for example, work on happiness. Kahneman's work on happiness is really fascinating. So he points out, it's quite a simple point, but it's counterintuitive. How we experience pleasure or pain, happiness or unhappiness while it's going on is different from how we evaluate it in hindsight. So to give you a simple example, you're listening to a concert, you love the music, you're completely transported, you listen for nearly an hour, and then in the last moments, somebody's mobile phone goes off, and you think to yourself, oh, it's just ruined everything. And Danny says, well, in what sense has it ruined everything? You were listening for 59 minutes, loving it, and then the last minute was spoiled. How could it possibly be that it's ruined everything? But I think we would all agree, including Danny, that there is a sense in which having the ending of the concert ruined did ruin everything. It didn't ruin the experience, but it ruined the memory. It ruined how we evaluated the entire experience with hindsight. And I think that's a fascinating distinction. There's a wonderful study he used to talk about. I hope people aren't eating because it's all about cameras up bottoms. He wrote about colonoscopies and the experience of having colonoscopies, which, you know, 20, 30 years ago was particularly uncomfortable. And they did an experiment where for some people, they would have the colonoscopy and it's a camera up your bum. It's quite uncomfortable. And for other people, they'd have the colonoscopy. And then when the colonoscopy was finished, they wouldn't tell the patients that the colonoscopy was finished. They'd just leave the camera in for another 5 minutes, but they wouldn't be wiggling it around. So it wasn't so uncomfortable. Now, in terms of your experience at the time, obviously, an uncomfortable 20-minute colonoscopy is less unpleasant than an uncomfortable 20-minute colonoscopy plus 5 minutes of extra camera up your bottom. I mean, you would just like the camera to be taken out and then you could go about your business. But when people remembered the experience, the ones who'd had the extra 5 minutes actually preferred the experience in hindsight. And they couldn't articulate why. They didn't really know what had happened, but they just, you know, it wasn't that bad in the end. And because it ended in a less unpleasant way, they retrospectively reevaluated the entire experience. I mean, I think that just gives you a sense of the kinds of examples that Danny would come up with and how counterintuitive they could be.
I have to say, Tim, over the years, there have been a handful of sort of quite famous economists who we've had on the show that you've interviewed, and, you know, you've had a lot of warmth and enthusiasm for many of them. But I have to say, Daniel Kahneman must be absolutely the top, I would have thought, as in you're always very excited at the chance of getting to speak to him. And you've interviewed him several times. So what was he actually like?
Yeah, I feel very lucky that I did get the chance to interview him on a number of different occasions. He's very charming. He will often surprise you. He would be quite impish. And I think about various Nobel Prize winners I've interviewed, Kahneman is the one who has really stuck with me when I'm trying to make a decision in my own life. Kahneman's ideas spring to my mind. I find myself asking again and again, what would Danny say about this? What would Danny do about this? In a way that it doesn't happen with the other great economists that I've interviewed. By the way, I told him this once and he found the whole thing completely ridiculous. He said, I'm not a guru. Just thought it was absurd, but there you go, that's Danny.
And that's it for More or Less this week. We're going to put that whole 2012 episode with Daniel Kahneman into our podcast feed, so if you want to hear more from the great man himself, find it there. Do drop us an email if you've seen a number you think we should take a look at. It's moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Until next time, goodbye.